Live Where You Want with special guest Susie Bills on today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Builderall. They are my favorite all-in-one solution for your online business. Everything you need to start your online business, from landing pages to emails to selling your first products, all without breaking the bank. Find out how Builderall can help you grow your online business at servedomaster.com/Builderall.
Are you tired of dealing with your boss? Do you feel underpaid and underappreciated? If you want to make it online, fire your boss, and start living your retirement dreams now, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to Serve No Master Podcast, where you'll learn how to open new revenue streams and make money while you sleep. Presented live from a tropical island in the South Pacific by best-selling author Jonathan Green. Now, here's your host.
Now, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. I was actually having a conversation with my best friend the other day, and his house is much smaller than mine, but about four times more expensive because he lives near New York City. And oftentimes people think, and I think this is because of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which was a big show when I was growing up. They just convinced everyone that anytime you live near the beach, your house is 10 times more expensive. But a lot of people have these assumptions that everywhere else in the world is more expensive than America, but it couldn't be farther from the truth, could it?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. We spent the last 4 years living in Mexico. So that is definitely a place where you can live on the beach for very, very affordably.
Yeah, I went on vacation to, when I was 30, I went on spring break for the first time with a bunch of my friends who were in college while I was doing my master's. And we went to Cancun and then Playa del Carmen, which is nearby. And I was like, this is amazing. Why would anyone live anywhere else? And I realized that's why, that's where many, many Europeans go to.
Yeah.
When they moved to Mexico. And I realized there's so many opportunities that oftentimes it's lack of information or just lack of research, because you can find out what stuff costs pretty easily with about 2 minutes of research, but people just don't. Why do you think that people have this kind of mindset? You know what? It's like almost everyone like lives and dies within 20 miles of where they're born. Why do you think that is with how easy travel is these days?
I think it's just comfort. We get really stuck in what's comfortable and familiar. And so it's scary to think a little bit outside the box, right? And so 7 years ago, my husband and I sold everything. We lived in California and started living a nomadic lifestyle. And we still, most of our family still thinks we're crazy. And it's been 7 years. So it's just that people are scared to even explore something different, right? And so it's great with the internet now, because you and I and people like us who love to travel and work remotely can, you know, people can find us, right? And so they can see examples of people that are living a different lifestyle. And I think if you're not searching it out, it's easy just to stay in the comfort zone, shall we say. And we know what is in the comfort zone, right? There's no growth there.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because when I started my business, I was like, I want to be able to live anywhere and do whatever I want. And within a few years, I was like, I'm going to travel the world full time. And all the other people started at the same time with me around 2010. We're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, isn't that why you guys? And they all started offices, and they had new offices, and they built companies with a lot of employees. And that's not my dream. I think that's an important thing that I often tell people, is that if you don't want what I do, don't follow me. If you don't want to travel the world, if your idea of freedom is different. And for some people, it's very, very different. Like, they just want to pay off their house and have less stress, which is great. But there's so much opportunity when you broaden your horizons. But you are right. Like, a lot of people in my family just can't understand why I live where I do all the time. Like, why do you live in a foreign country? Well, my wife is from here. So
where do you live? Where do you live?
So, I live in Southeast Asia, and you know, I was just traveling around, bouncing from country to country, India to Thailand, and you just bounce around. And I met my wife while I was around. I was like, well, I guess I'll stick around. But we still are looking to move to another country. It's a little bit harder because we have four kids and they're very young. Changing schools, right, adds a layer of complexity. Right.
Yeah.
We're already planning it. But as soon as you turn 50, there's all these countries that have these amazing retirement visas. You don't even have, they're like, amount of money you have to have when you're 50 is so low. It's like you have to have, I think, $500 a month in income, and you can live in like dozens of tropical paradise countries. So it's a really low requirement. It's just, I'm 42, and the requirements at 42, it's for me and my kids to move to, we want to move back to Thailand, and it's 20,000 per member of the family for the visa. I'm like, I'm just going to wait a few.
Because that's, even their nomad visa is a little, there are places. So currently my husband and I are in Portugal and we've met several, lots of different expats here that have families. So they did what you did, right? They moved here with little kids. And so a lot of the countries just very recently, and I think a lot of it has to do because of COVID. And so they kind of decided to speed up their visa processes and offer a digital nomad visa. So Portugal, we've just been here for a month, and they just about 2 months ago started issuing their nomad visas. So this is like a new style of visa for people that work online. And next month, we're on our way to Greece, and they also have a very nice digital nomad visa. So we're bopping around trying to find which visa over here in the European side makes the most sense for us. But again, the barrier to entry has been really reduced. And so you don't need to be making tons of money or buy a property, you know, like spend several hundred thousand dollars on a property or something to get your residency, even in the European countries, which have always been really difficult. And so there's quickly more countries are opening up because they're seeing so many people working online and they would like for you to come spend your money in their country. If you even, you know, so here, as long as my company, as long as I'm not making money here in this country and it's all in the US, then I have options, lots of visa options and things like that. So yes, and my husband and I are 53. So it is easier than when we started when we were in our 40s. It definitely, as you get older, they invite you even more into their country.
Yeah, it's amazing that every other country considers 50 the age of retirement. My parents certainly didn't retire. They'd be like, no one in America is doing that. You don't get Social Security at 50. They're like, oh, but it does open so many doors. And a lot of it does come down to this doing research and looking around. There are a lot of amazing new digital nomad visas. And it used to be, you used to have to invest like $500,000 in a company country. So if you have a lot of money, you could basically go anywhere.
Sure, you could buy your visa anywhere.
For people that are in between, there's always this thought of like, oh, I'm going to lose all of these resources and stuff, or there's time zone challenges. And those do exist, but I have gigabit internet. My internet's faster. Most of the time now when I'm on a phone call with someone in America and there's a problem with the internet, it's their internet.
Right.
So it's really, and that's recent. And a few years ago, it was the exact opposite, but there are these amazing opportunities. And the first step is to consider them. And there's a lot of countries I looked at. Fiji just, it has a new nomad visa because they're so desperate. Their tourism dried up for so long. They're so desperate. One of my friends was able to get in and it's just like hundreds and hundreds of empty hotels. So there's all these amazing chances right now. It's like now is actually the best time that I've ever seen. But it is also, there's so many advantages to being abroad as far as tax advantages, as far as like freedom advantages. We have a lot more control over how we raise our children than we would in America.
Yes.
Some states in America now are like, even if you want to homeschool, you have to be licensed to homeschool your own kids. And you still have to teach the state curriculum and all that stuff. Because we're very heavily homeschooling. We did a lot of homeschooling for a long time. I'm like, I want to choose which school my kids go to. And so that's why we chose where we live now. There's a really, really good school here. That's one of the best schools in the entire nation. So we've picked a great European school and all that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, definitely when you're a parent, there's a lot of different decision making. And also when you're a solo nomad, oh my gosh, you have so many choices. Now, if you're willing to just do a year. For us, that's one of the limitations. Like, well, my kids get stuck in. I don't want to say, hey, we're leaving again in a year. Say goodbye to all your friends. That's one of the things I don't want to keep doing.
Right. So you want to, you finding a place that you're going to hang out for a few years.
Yeah. When they're older, like once we stop having kids, like we're probably going to have more. We're only at four right now. And
oh my gosh. Oh my
gosh. Taking like a 6 month break before we have the next baby. My wife was talking about it yesterday. I was like, let's wait 6 months before we get pregnant again. And because she just wants lots and lots and lots. So
lots it's kind and of lots. Like, it sounds
you never
like
know
it.
When you're done until you're done. And you go, oh no, this is the last one. Once you have one, you're like, I don't like this one this much. Then we're done. So until we have a bad one, we're going to keep going. But it's very much, you know, there's also, we travel all the, whenever we have a baby, we travel with the baby all the time because babies fly for free until they're 2 years old. We're really big on that one. So the babies go on the most vacations where they can't remember it because you can put the baby on your lap and it's like an extra $4 for the baby on the plane.
Right.
But yeah, now whenever we plan a trip, because there's four kids, so much logistics to it. We went on a big vacation
for
a month and my kids were, I was like, what was your favorite part? And my kids all said, we love the airplane. And I said, wow, that's worst part of the whole trip for us, because right, now we're bigger than a row. So it's a whole new dynamic where you have to take up.
You're going to do two rows. You have to have more kids so you can have two rows, right? You can have the two rows.
That's what we're figuring out, because nobody wants to be the one person in the other row, and no stranger wants to be on the row with the extra person from the other family. I'm always like, listen, I'll sit in business class so that way you guys can all be together. That's what my parents.
No worries.
Parents in right. business, kids in coach. But yeah, there's so many opportunities now, and the cost of travel is so low.
Yeah.
The cost of other countries is so low, and your money goes a lot further. And a lot of countries just want you getting paid in dollars and then translating into their currency. They love it.
Exactly.
So what do you think is the kind of biggest revelation you've had as someone who started traveling and digital nomading, from when you thought about doing it to when you started doing it? What was like the biggest revelation for you?
The biggest revelation, number one is it's so much easier now than when we started, and it wasn't even that long ago. Right? It was like five or six or seven years ago. But now I literally, as long as I have my laptop and my phone, I can even run my whole business just on my phone if I don't have my laptop with me. So just the ease of running an online business these days, it's just so easy. We carry everything we need in the palm of our hand. And for me, for a long time, I thought I still had to have paper, like paper notepads and like all the things, because that was just working in a 9-to-5 office. You had all the paper. And that's been such a freeing thing, is like, I have no paper. We have no paper. And all of our records and things like that are on digital. And so that's been awesome. And then another revelation as far as meeting new people in different countries, out of all the places we've been, and we've been a lot of places over the last 7 years, there was only one country where we didn't feel very welcomed. And that is the exception to the rule. The people are so, in each different country we've been to, are amazing. I'm sure you've found that in Thailand. We found that in Thailand. We loved Thailand and how accepting people are, and happy that you're there. Like, it's really nice. People are happy to see you. And everywhere else we've been also, the pace of life is very different than in the US. It's much more tranquil.
Yeah, there's all these things that seem really important before. Like, I don't know if I still remember. I haven't driven a car in like so many years, probably 10 years. And it's so funny because it's like the most important or the most expensive purchase for most people until you buy your house and use it so little, right? You probably ride in your car 1 hour of the day at most, and it's the most expensive thing you have. And it's such a big deal. And I actually almost bought a really expensive car right before I decided to move, like start traveling. I'm so glad I didn't. But it's like, I walk everywhere now, or if I take a taxi, yeah, it's like, dollar. And I used to pay so much money for the car, so much money for insurance. And we spent so much time getting to and from work. You know, I went to college here. So I have all these friends who have a 2-hour commute to work and a 2-hour. I'm like 4 hours a day just in the car. That's how much time I spend working. Like, it's so.
Yeah. It's just a different perspective and a different way of embracing life.
Yeah. And I used to live on an even more remote island than I do now a year ago. And one of my friends was like, what do you do when you want to go to the opera? And I was like, what? There's no opera house here. Like, in most countries, like, bands only play in the capital, right? Like, U2 goes to Moscow and that's it. They're not going to like 50 Russian cities. That's only in America. So a lot of those things, yeah, like, I want to go to a Michelin star restaurant. That's not going to happen. But the trade-off is that life is slower. Life is a lot less stressful. There's a lot less pressure. And there's this assumption, I think, that at least I grew up with, that there is a big like connection between possessions and happiness.
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of people where I live that have no money and they're very happy. They just they go fishing every day. They get enough fish to eat for the day. They sell a couple of extras so they can have a few beers at night, and they're very happy. And it is that thing of what's the balance of how I think that a lot of times we mix up the balance of wealth to happiness, like what we need to survive. And I think that it's like, maybe that's why so many people are having so many problems with depression and stress and anxiety, is that we feel this need. Like, I remember I used to go to festivals in Miami, and whenever in Miami, I feel like so much pressure to get plastic surgery because there's so many billboards. It's one place where you feel like, am I the only one here that's got all original? It's this, only in Miami do I feel it, but there are so many plastic surgery billboards there. It does affect you, even if, like,
you know, I feel that my sister lives in Beverly Hills, and it's the same thing. Feel pretty good till I go there.
Yeah. And you start to, I think, go, oh, I need to make more money to get this and more money to make that. And I mean, we certainly, with four kids and all in private schools, we certainly have some bigger and bigger bills. But then when I talk to my friends in America about my bills, they're like, what? I saw my friend, I talked to my best friend from college about my monthly cost the other week. He goes, my mortgage is four times that. Yeah. I was like, come on over. And actually he was like, maybe I should start working with you. And I was like, hey man, of course. I would love to do it because it's, you don't need as much to have more here. And there's, and you can make a real difference. Like, I think that's one of the things that I realized is that like, we only hire local people, like all of our money, with all the money I bring in, with all the people we have working around, we're supporting like 50 or 100 people at any given time that were their only source of income. We pay better than everyone else. You know, where we live, a lot of people, if you have like your nannies out with you when you go out to dinner, like they sit at a different table and watch you eat, but don't eat. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. Like
that's not cool.
I was like, that's a thing. There's so many things I didn't know about, like a way, like my wife, before she met me, she used to be like a house cleaner. She's like, yeah, I wasn't allowed to sit down during the day. And I was like, what?
What?
Our name is just like, sitting down all the time. Like, like there's all these ways of treating people. We ran a hotel for a few years and I went there, all the workers who were running the hotel while the owners were out of town were sleeping in the stock room. And I was like, guys, this, I can't do this. There's no way.
Oh, that's where they would sleep at night.
Yeah,
they live there.
Floor. I go, guys, listen, this is not going to work. And also I can't pay you your old salary. Like, I cannot look myself in the mirror and
pay you a dollar.
I was like, we got to pay. Yeah. I was like, first of all, you've got to double your salary starting today. And number two, you guys are getting your own rooms. Like, you're not sleeping on a mattress together. Like, it is amazing how much you can do with a little. So just treating people nice. And it's not just, the thing is, it's not just about yourself, which is great, right? You get these benefits, live amazing. But you can also pour money into countries that need it the most, right?
Like,
because I remember all these people go on vacation to like Jamaica and then they stay in the hotel, but the hotel's owned by an American company. The money just goes right back to America. It doesn't go into the local. But when you live somewhere, you can start to hire local people, stay at locally owned places, put money into the local economy. Like my wife and I went out last night and it's the first time I'd seen a really good DJ in a long time. And I think I tipped him $60 and the guy was like, cause someone else tried to tip the guy a dollar. And I was like, come on, this guy is so good. I've seen so many bad DJs. I traveled the world seeing DJs for decades. So I'm like, to finally see a good one, it's such a pleasure. And it was like life changing for the guy. And it was like, you're good. You should get rewarded for it. And it's like, you can do really nice things. Whereas tip someone in America, $60, they're not going to be impressed.
Well, and when you say it's life changing, that is, it's very easy to help people, even if you don't have a lot, because you just give something, right? That's definitely, and they're so appreciative. It's a great way, right? To help out the local economy. And plus you guys are living in Thailand and you'll be there for a while because of your kids, right? So you are part of the community, right? And the other families and all the other kids and things like that. So of course it's wonderful to be able to also help people out. So your point of view living from the US is really an advantage in being able to help people because you have a different perspective of what you will allow to happen, like sleeping on the floor, right? That's not appropriate.
Yeah, it is surprising how different like some things are in other places. And there are some values you want to bring with you. And I get it. I know there are some people that come to other countries and treat everyone terribly. Like I've certainly seen that as well.
See it all the time. See it all the time.
You think, if I just shout louder, this person will learn English. I see that all the time as well. But it is exactly that. Like I've always been someone who, when I travel somewhere, I stay longer. I just can't do a 3-day vacation because you can't figure it out. You're never going to see the stuff that's really cool, like the locals only places or the part that's like really the most interesting part, if you're just somewhere for a really short time, because it takes a while to figure out where you can go, where you can't go, what are the rules and all of that stuff. And to start to meet people. And I think that's always been to me the best part. Like I do want to do a lot more traveling with my kids. Like definitely once they're all probably 10 or above, we can do a lot of traveling or go to a lot of different countries, see all sorts of stuff and see the seven wonders of the ancient world and see, my kids have never seen snow. So all of those things like we want to do, but it's just not as hard as you think it is. It's mostly about making the decision and then making a plan, right? And for us, like the homeschooling and education thing, that's one of the big challenges and know who we're going to travel with, but that's just part of the planning. Like we have a lot of options. We do can still go on big vacations. And a lot of it is first, you're exactly right. Like getting over the fear of leaving what's familiar. I remember I lived in Japan for 2 years in my 20s. And a lot of my friends all of my friends were super into Japanese cartoons. Like, oh, they were like, oh, my dream vacation would be to go to Japan. I'm like, yeah, you can just stay with me. It's like, get on a plane. You can stay with me. I know all the places to eat that are really, really affordable. Your vacation will be so much cheaper than you think. And they never do it. No one ever did. I live in Japan for 2 years. No one ever comes because there's just this thing. And I think it's the same thing about people starting their own businesses, is this thing where they just don't do it. You know, I've always been out of shape. And one of my friends runs a really famous strongman gym. And we're in a bar one night. He goes, you want to train? Come tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And I was there, or maybe it was even 5:30. I showed up the next morning. He goes, no one ever comes when I say that.
He's like, I invite people all the time.
Well, and at the time, yeah. I was dating a woman who was 6'2", an Olympic alternate. So I was like, I need to be at least strong enough to lift her up. It's like, I don't need to be as strong as her, but at least I need to be able to lift her because she was so strong. Olympic volleyball alternate, you know, for my wife, but... And I was there every day until I left the country. Like, I trained a lot. Yeah. It was the strongest I've ever been. You know, when you're carrying like kegs of sand and bags and all that stuff. But there's a thing where most people miss or don't do opportunities. They have an opportunity in front of them and then they don't take action. And I think it's the same thing maybe that causes people not to travel, is that there's this, maybe it's too good to be true feeling. Like, oh, come on, it can't be that easy. And so they don't do it, or they don't try, or they're somewhere.
Well, I also like to point out that it's not all roses, right? Like, you don't just leave and now you're in a different country. And everything takes work, right? And planning and investigating. And I tell a lot of people, if you're interested in thinking about living in a different country, start by making a list of things that are required, right? Like, do you require warm weather? Do you require that you don't have to learn another language? Like, there's places you can go that you don't need to learn another. Like, what is that list that are kind of like your deal breakers? Because then it's a great way to start researching. You can see anywhere, any street in anywhere you want to go on YouTube. Somebody's made a travel video about it. They've done a walking tour. My husband researches all the places before we decide to go somewhere, and he literally knows everything about it before we even go. The only thing we can't really know before we get there is like the vibe of the place, right? Because you really have to be there to experience it. But all the places, all the streets, the hotels, the rest, we're vegan. So he knows where all the vegan restaurants are. You can find out so much. So spend some time. If it's something that you feel called to, or you think is interesting and gets you excited, you know, spend some time on YouTube checking out some different places. Spend some time if you're traveling with someone else, a spouse or a friend or whatever, make sure that you guys have some deal breakers, some things you don't want, right? Because that's just important as understanding what you do want, right? And just dip your toe in, right? And then also then plan a vacation. Go somewhere first. It doesn't have to be like, I'm going to go be a nomad and then the next month you have to move. Like, it can be a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 year plan, and you can go travel slowly and check out places and things like that. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And same with an online business. If you have a great business or a great job right now that maybe you don't love it, but it's doing what it's paying, right? It's how you make a living. It's all the things that you need. You start a side business, dip your toe in with the side business, and let your current job, like, be your venture capitalist or whatever for your side gig. Like, let it fund your side gig, right? But start something. And again, if you have a 2 or 3 year plan, over time, even putting a little bit of effort into an online business every day, an hour a day, a couple hours, 4 or 5 hours a week, over a year or two, you can build something substantial, right? And then you can leave that 9 to 5, or you can do whatever you want. So again, not making everything so like black and white, and just starting off with small steps in a direction of something you think you might be interested in learning more about, and then Google it.
Yeah, I think
everything's on Google.
There is so much opportunity now. Like, I started full time online in 2010, in February of 2010, and it's so much easier now than it was then. Like,
yes.
When I think about the first website pages I built, like, I had to learn, I used to have to do stuff in Dreamweaver and I learned nothing.
Oh my gosh.
To catch an email address or to make a page for a website into Dreamweaver, like copying and pasting, like looking at someone else's website left and right. It was so hard. Or finding a client now, and we're just starting a new training program tomorrow for a bunch of students about how to get their first like freelancing client. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier now than it was.
And
there's so many more ways you can hang up your shingle and get on people's radar. And I had to add this caveat. I was like, you have to be careful because you're going to get too many clients if you do everything here. Like where I used to struggle, like it took me a while to get ramped up when I was starting. Now there's so many opportunities. A lot of people, I think most people, they either think their existing skill has no value. They're like, oh, no one would want to pay me, or they hate it. And it's so,
they hate it and don't want to do it. Yeah.
And it's always like, well, just make an exit plan. Like just use that to make enough money to get out. And that's what I did. I've done a lot of stuff I hate over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, guess what? That's part of life. But now I make so much money for doing something I don't like. When someone's like, why do you do client work? Well, I just charge a fee for how inconvenient it is.
That makes it worth it. Exactly.
I was working with the team I work with now and they're on a big project. They're like, well, we don't want to do this anymore. We hate the clients. I was like, what number would make you not hate them anymore? I said, well, that, and they go this. I said, that's the new price. And I said, that's how I get all of my prices. Everyone I know who's in client services of any kind, the majority of the fee is an inconvenience fee. If like, oh, this person's going to call me. And the more someone call, the more you call someone, this is a warning. If you are hiring people, the more you call them, the more they're going to charge you.
Exactly. The more you get of their time, there's a price for that. Absolutely. Yeah. And so you said that you have a service business. Is it a course or something that you're...
What we do now, this is great. I actually started a new company this year. I reached out to, I saw these three 22-year-olds on TikTok who were doing really well. And I just done a huge TikTok campaign with someone else and a company bought me out of that project. And I said, that's fine. And I started with these guys the next day and I just sent them an email. And I was like, I think I can make you guys millionaires by next Christmas. And most people, and they don't, I've sent that email to about 50 people. They're the first ones who said, yes, they do everything I say and they're going to hit it. So they're going to be millionaires by the time they're 23. So they're already dealing with all these issues and they built a huge TikTok business, consulting business. And we're getting approached by 10 to 20 companies a week that want to hire us as an agency, which we're not, but we're partnered with other agencies and that they have clients who are paying a lot of money to learn how to do what they're doing on TikTok. And they just like, they get tired of the coaching calls. And I said, well, just charge more. That's the secret.
Yeah.
That's the secret to anything is that there's a number at which it's not annoying anymore. And you just figure out what that is. That's the amazing thing now is that exactly you only have to be good at one thing. That's the biggest lesson I've learned in the last 12 years of this is that if you're just really good at one thing, you don't have to be good at anything else because they're not good at any of the business stuff. They don't know how to write the sales stuff. I do all of that. That's the part I bring to the table. I said, I'll write all the structure. I'll give you the structure for the courses. You put in the knowledge. I'll just give you the outline. And they are so good at what they do. Every time they go, oh, should we do this thing outside? I go, no, stick to what you're so great at because it's going to explode.
Stay in your lane. Yeah.
But they had no idea. They were selling a $7 course when I reached out to them. I was like, and they were selling, I hired them as coaches first because it was $30 an hour for coaching. And I said, can I buy 100 hours? And they said, wait a minute, maybe we should raise our prices. And I was like, yeah, you definitely, because your knowledge at 30 is way, you're way undercharging. And now, of course, they're much more, they've learned, but there's so many people that don't realize what they know is so valuable. We've been trying to hire a phone salesperson for a while because we're getting so many calls coming in. Our problem is not traffic because they can get unlimited traffic from TikTok. They can generate 1,000 calls a week if we want. It's not the problem. The problem is who's going to answer the phone. And it's so interesting how many people, it's really hard. We've discovered there's certain jobs that are really hard to find for. It's really been hard to find a phone salesperson. We finally got a couple of leads last week, but I've been trying for months because it's not a good use of their time to answer the phones. We just haven't found a person yet. And there's probably a ton of people out there that have terrible phone sales jobs that are good at it. I used to do it. I used to sell computers over the phone. Nightmare job. Horrible. Because you're trying to get everyone to get the computer company credit card, which never has a good interest rate.
Oh, right. It's a hard sell.
It'll take you 15 years to pay off your computer, but I promise this is a really good deal. That's the thing. I remember so many people I've met, I'm like, you have an amazing skill. And they go, no one will pay for it. And I'm like, you're completely wrong.
Because they know it so easily, they don't think it's a thing. But you got to remember that other people don't know that. And it's super valuable to them. Yeah.
So many things are really hard. One of my friends can build a house from like nothing, which is insane to me. And I came over one day with him to help him paint a wall, just white walls. And he came back after 10 minutes. He goes, how did you do that? How does it look so bad? He goes, I've never seen a white wall with white paint look so bad. I didn't know you. And I go, listen,
I'm not a painter, dude. That's not what I do.
I know. It's amazing how hard making a wall look one color is.
And
to him, it's so easy, right? Because he's like putting up walls and sheetrock. I'm like, no, every part of this is really hard. And you can get paid really good money to do that stuff or teach people how to do it. I watch videos all the time, how to fix stuff anytime something's broken in the house. Because here, you got to fix it yourself. Like that's definitely like one of the challenges of living abroad is like you have to, a lot more personal responsibility. Like same thing for your health. Like you have to be really in charge of your own health, because the medical coverage in some places where we live, it's very remote. It's not, you don't want to have stuff happen here. So you have to be more responsible, but that's the trade-off.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you mentioned though. And for your listeners too, is you just to start an online business, exactly what you said, one thing, right? Like, what is it that you have experience in from your job that you're currently in or your past experience? What is it? Here's a question for you. If somebody asked you today, you had to give a TED talk, what could you get up and talk about right now that you could just riff on and talk about for a half an hour? Teach somebody, talk about, what's that topic? Like, what is it? What could you teach somebody if you had to give a TED talk right now? Well, for me, that's creating an online business. For you, similar, right? For someone else, it might be, you know, they can help you. They're a lawyer, right? Like I have some clients that are lawyers and we've helped turn their businesses into digital product businesses because they can help with contracts, right? They can. So there's just because you're in, you have a current job that might be in a brick and mortar, right? You might be a lawyer or an accountant or any of these things. Those can all be turned into product businesses, online businesses, right? Or at least versions of those, right? And so it's about kind of changing the perspective on how you look at what you do, right? And how other people would value it.
Yeah. I always remind people that whatever your company is paying you, it's less than you're worth. Because no company is trying to be at zero profit. No company's operating at exactly break even. So whatever you're getting paid, wherever you're working, it's less than the profit you're generating, or you wouldn't be there. You know, that's why the company's still in business. And so many jobs, as soon as you switch from employee to consultant, right? Immediately your salary goes up 50 or 100% because they don't have to cover your health insurance or whatever, right? And they're kind of—
all the things, all the tax, all the things. There's a lot that goes into it, right? Yeah.
The one of the lessons I learned as well is that your first year in business, most people make exactly the same as they did at their last job because they go, oh, that's what I'm worth, or that's what I should make. And when I had that revelation, I made so much more money the next year because my first year online, I made exactly the same as my last salary because we let other people
define worth.
What we're worth.
Right.
What am I worth? Oh, my boss told me I'm worth $7 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever the number is. And it's always, well, why is your time worth that? And it's most of the time it's, well, someone, this is what someone once paid me. It's like, well, no, you're worth so much more. And I've always found that as you raise your prices, you get nicer clients. Like at least that's been most of my experience. They're more likely to show up. They're less likely to complain about the bill and they take action. So
agreed.
There's this fear that if I charge more, I'll lose all my existing clients. And it's true. You'll have to switch to new clients, but you can make a lot more money. Yeah, there's so many opportunities. I always am amazed by lawyers who think, oh, there's nothing I can do online. Are you crazy? Lawyers are the easiest thing.
Or CPAs. CPAs too. It's like
every single person I know who runs an online business has a bookkeeping problem.
Yep. Absolutely. Agreed. Same with me. Yep. Same. All the people I work with.
My first accountant, I tried to hire her. She wouldn't work with me. She goes, how much money do you make? And I said, I have no idea. She goes, what do you do when you run out of money? I said, I just make more. And I basically drive a roller coaster because if I need a project, I can always find a project where someone will pay me for something, and it happens all the time. And I've always lived that way. I'm just so good at, and it's like the curse, I'm so good at rainmaking that if I need a project for any number, I always find it. Whether it's working for someone else or launching something or helping with something or just getting paid a flat rate, it always comes in right in the nick of time. And it's happened like dozens and dozens of times over the years. And accountants hate that. Because they like predictability.
They like predictability. Oh, no. Yeah. They're like, what? How's your cash flow? You're like, it just happens.
Yeah. If I need money, I bring it in. And that's why most of the things I teach about are rainmaking, because I'm so good at
it. Yeah.
People are like, how do you find so many clients? I'm like, I just tell everyone I'm really good at what I do. And then they go, wow, he must be the best. He keeps saying it.
There you go. Right. A belief is just what you keep hearing over and over. And obviously you're good at what you do. I mean, obviously you have to be able to back it up, but yeah, I love that you said that about consulting, like somebody that goes from an employee to a consultant can double how much money they make. And it really is just a limiting belief that they're only worth a certain amount. Right. And so if you change your beliefs, right, that's another thing that every single person I work with, and myself included, there, if you're going to decide to go and be an entrepreneur and have an online business, you're going to have to do some personal development work. You're going to have to work on your mindset. You're going to have to work on any money mindset issues you have come up, any worthiness issues, these things will come up, right? They might not come up at the beginning, but as you work and grow your business and want to take it to different levels, you're going to have to do some personal development. So be aware. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yeah, I started off in personal development and then went into business. So when I was 27, I read a book about dating and I was like, wait, you can get better at dating? And that changed my entire life. I was just so many bad relationships, so bad at dating. And I was like, oh, you can learn to be better at conversation. You can be more interesting. And now that's how I met my wife, through business stuff. But it was like, it's such a foundation, realizing you can get, because there's certain areas where you think, oh, you're born good or not good.
It's just limiting beliefs. Yeah.
You can get good at almost everything, right? You can get better at your health. You can get smarter. You can get faster. I mean, I guess there's limits or whatever, but there's so much beyond where we think. And there is this belief. Like, I always thought I'm not an entrepreneur. And I realized I've started like a dozen side businesses before this one. Like I was doing.
So it's like, then what are you?
Yeah.
Just that's not an entrepreneur.
Because we're so taught in the West that we are not allowed to be entrepreneurs. That the way to be an entrepreneur is be born with rich parents. Then you can be an entrepreneur. That's what
and
I
you
always
just go around and do make stuff, right? Or whatever. Yeah.
I am curious about one thing. Now, you and your husband, you're traveling and doing, did you guys start out as entrepreneurs together? Because I know for a lot of people, it's a really hard conversation, whether it's the husband or the wife, when they say, I'm going to quit my job to do my side business full time. It's really scary if you don't have the entrepreneurial gene, if you favor security over.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, being an entrepreneur is risky, right? You're all in, trapeze, no net. I met my wife after I'd started this business. So this is all she's ever known from our relationship. But I know a lot of people, that's a challenge. And I think it's the same one of like, let's travel discussion. What was that part like, that transition? That's very interesting to me.
Yeah. You know, it was pretty simple. We were on the same page. So we had a very successful business in San Francisco for many years. And so, but what we found is that working 24/7 and having all the things and having all the trappings of a very successful life, we still weren't happy, right? And so it was back to that, like we talked about earlier, right? Making a lot of money and buying a lot of things because you think that makes us happy. And so we weren't. And around that same time, we had a very, very, very dear friend of ours pass away from cancer at the age of 40. And it was a very eye-opening perspective switch that, what are we doing? We're doing what we don't like every day of our life. We're spending every day of our life doing something we don't like. We only have one life. What the, right? Like what the F? So that was our switch. And then, so then we together put a plan into place that took a while to get things built up and exit other things and move and all of that. But it was definitely a joint effort because we were both on the same page. So in that respect, it can be really difficult if one person that's a conundrum, right? If your husband doesn't want to move and wants to stay in your small town forever and you want to travel, that's more of perhaps a conversation to maybe talk to somebody about, like a marriage counselor or somebody, because that could be a big problem, right? And so, yeah, we didn't have to go through that. Fortunately, we were both on the same page and realized that life is short and we just want to be happy. Right. And we want to spend more time on our health. We want to spend more time, you know, helping do things with people and other people to make their lives good. You mentioned helping out in your community. We have an online team that helps in our business and they're from all over the world. A majority of them live in the Philippines. And, you know, we are making a big difference because we can help them live better lives because they work for us and we pay them a great wage, right? And so, and it's a win-win because they help us with our clients. And so we wanted to do other things than just working to make money to buy more things. And that was kind of the impetus when our friend passed away that really was the change.
Yeah, I think that's so important, is that sometimes we wait for something to happen to remind us that we're not happy or we're stuck, or because I at one point had an office. I had an office outside the house that was like 100 yards from the house. And I got so much work done, but I didn't see the kids all day. And yeah, I was like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what I want at all.
And why am I having all these kids if I don't see them, right? Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The thought of like missing childhood events or their first steps or being home. So that's why I work from home. I wanted to be around the kids all the time. That's why I have a lot of kids. And it is, you have to make this decision-making calculus of what's important to you, and then you can have it. You don't, I mean, before this, I thought about like, I looked at moving into like really small towns and like rural parts of America. Cause again, you can like you could buy a house in Alabama, like a mansion for the price of a small part in San Francisco. Like sometimes even the disparity within America is crazy. Yeah. And I went to Hawaii for my 30th birthday for a month and everyone was like, how could you possibly afford that? I was like, have you ever looked at what a plane ticket costs? It was like $500 round trip. It wasn't that crazy. And then it was like $1,000 for a month staying somewhere. So, and it was basically the same as cost of living in Nashville at the time. Like a lot of the times we make these big assumptions. You don't even have to leave the country to make things. There's such a difference in cost of living and prices different between different states. Like Alaska, come on, it's way cheaper. There's a lot. You can go live in the middle of the woods. And now that there's internet everywhere, where I live, I mean, I live in a national wildlife preserve. So this side of my house is just a jungle. There's not a house on that side. And this side, there's just three other houses and then more jungle because this was here before they declared it a national forest. And it's remote, but we have gigabit internet. I can do literally anything. I can upload video in like 2 minutes. I'm shooting this in 4K. So a lot of times we don't realize there are so many opportunities out there. There's so much you can do online. There's so much work. There's more work now for writers than ever before because more and more people need content, social media creators. So it's actually, I think it's actually better market than ever before. So this has been really
if you're a writer, if you are a writer, if you can do copywriting and sales letters and website copy, if you have that skill, amazing. You can do amazing things.
So this has been absolutely amazing, Susie. I appreciate your time. We've gone way longer than I planned, but I've been having a good time. It's nice to talk to another person that's traveling the world in the same way.
Yes.
Where can people find out more about you, get to know you, hang out with you, and maybe see some of the other amazing things you're doing?
Yeah, SusieBills.com. You can go there and there's some links to a lot of free resources. I have a great Facebook group called the Savvy CEO Society, and it is a hub of free resources for people who want to start an online business. And there's so much information out there for people that sometimes people get overwhelmed if they go to Google and put in like how to start an online business. There's just so much. But I've curated a lot of free resources so people can hop in there, join the group. And then I also am in there every Friday for Free Coaching Fridays at 10 a.m. Central, where you can ask me any questions. And so I'd love to have anybody who's interested in living a laptop lifestyle in any manner, whether that is from your kitchen table or next door to you in Bali in a nature preserve, or not Bali, Thailand in a nature preserve, right? You can definitely do it. You just have to start taking small steps. And so that is what we do in the society. So we'd love to have you. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for spending time with us. And everyone, that's SusieBills.com, SusieBills.com. And then on Facebook, that's the Savvy CEO Society. Both worth joining. Thank you so much for being here, Susie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Making that first dollar online doesn't have to be daunting. I've got you covered. Get my free guide on how to make your first $1,000 online right now at servemaster.com/1K.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Serve No Master podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll be back next week with more tips and tactics on how to escape the rat race. Please take a moment to leave a review at servenomaster.com/iTunes. It helps the show grow, and more listeners means more content for you. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.